How to Make History Inspiring. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 218. And today I'm answering a subscriber question from Edwin Young. Thank you very much, Edwin, for your question. I'm sorry it's taken me a few weeks to get around to answering it, but it's been a bit busy with other things. But here we are this week answering your question. Let me read the question and we'll dive straight in. Edwin asks this. My worry is that my hermeneutical point that I derive from the text will be received as a history or Bible lesson as opposed to a life-changing message. Would you recommend one of your videos for my concern? And I realized I don't actually have a video on that specific topic, so here we are. And thanks for the question again, Edwin. I'm going to assume that what you mean by a history or Bible lesson is something that's rather overly academic, that you've got your hermeneutical point, you've got something you want to share with a historical context and the background perhaps to something, and it might come across as a bit dry rather than something that's inspiring. So I'm going to particularly focus on the history aspect, which I think will become clear as we go through. And I hope that will deal with the general question I think that you have here. So the first point I have is this. Allow the history to inspire. Allow the history to inspire. It can be part of the inspiration. The history and the background might be, for some people, it might be what helps people find their way into your point or into the topic or into the text. The history is a channel for some people before they can then find the inspiration themselves. Jesus, funnily enough, actually gave history lessons. Let me read for you from Mark chapter 2 as an example. He gave a history lesson here. In Mark chapter 2, the Pharisees ask him, "You're doing unlawful things on the Sabbath," or they state that, or your followers are. And in verse 25, he answered, "Have you never read?" So he's talking about the past here. "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated food, the bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. Also, and he also gave some to his companions." And then he comes to the point. "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." He gets to his point, but first he goes back into history. Biblical history, sure, but history. Brings out an Old Testament text that for many of us would seem a bit obscure, but it was the point, it was the history they needed so that he could then make the point that they needed to hear. Jesus taught history lessons. So the history is not the barrier. The history is not the problem. It can be the way to find the inspiring or relevant point for your congregation. I also tend to think in this context of Stephen's speech in Acts chapter 7, which we won't look at now in detail, but you might want to go back and have a look at that. A whole chapter of the book of Acts is devoted to a history lesson. Stephen's speech in Acts 7 is just one long history lesson from the beginning, the early days of Israel's formation as a nation with Moses and all the way through to the time of the Messiah, of Jesus. The key thing we see in there is that Stephen, although he's using that history, is focused on God. I did a quick count in Acts 7 yesterday, and the word God or Lord or all the synonyms around God, Father, Holy Spirit, and Jesus comes up 30 times in that one chapter. And so what Stephen's doing there is he's giving a history lesson, but it's focused on the nature and the actions and the character of God. That's one way to prevent the history from becoming too dry. Let's remember it's about a person. All of human history and all of biblical history is about God. And so bring God's in that history, but bring out the fact that God is in that history rather than just presenting dates and names and facts. Remind us that it's about God. That is the way that history can be an inspiration, not a barrier. So that's our first point. Secondly, show your audience how that history applies today. What's the relevance for your audience, your congregation? As an example, we might take Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 10. I'm not going to read the whole passage here, but from the beginning of chapter 10, Paul gives a bit of a history lesson to the Corinthians. He talks about the fact that the ancestors passed, they were under the cloud as they passed through the sea, baptized into Moses, ate the same spiritual food, drank the spiritual drink, spiritual rock was Christ. God wasn't pleased with them. Most of them scattered in the wilderness. This is an example for us not to be idolaters. They sat down to eat and drink in revelry, sexual immorality. 23,000 died. We shouldn't grumble. Some of them were killed by snakes, destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, written down as warnings for us. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. No temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind. God's faithful won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you're tempted, he'll provide a way out. You can endure it. It's a history lesson. Paul's taking them back into history. He uses selected portions of Israel's history to make a point that his audience needed to be addressed. Now, there was a lot more Paul could have added. He's selective about Israel's history. So he puts things in, leaves other things out. When we use history, we need to be sure that we're thinking clearly about the portions of history we're talking about, not giving our audience everything on an historical event or topic, but the parts that are important for this particular audience at this particular time. He summarizes a lot of Exodus's history, highlights certain points. For example, he speaks of God, he speaks of his people, he speaks of their actions, the consequences, and then specifically addresses their overindulgence, the immorality, their testing, and their grumbling. Finally, then he encourages his audience that he's writing to learn the lessons so that they can be confident in their faith and their ability to handle challenges as they arise. So use the history of God's work amongst humankind as a way of strengthening the people you're speaking to. What is it in this history that can strengthen the faith of the people that I am being called to speak to? That's the question to be asking. As you look at the history available to you that you could speak about, that's the question to ask. What can I use from this that will strengthen the faith of the people before me this coming Sunday or whenever it might be? So to conclude, the problem is not history. I must admit, when I was a youngster and I was, say, 13, 14, I had a history teacher that unfortunately made history sound very boring. That's the reality. This is not knocking teachers. It's not even my particular teacher. And I dropped history as soon as I could. That's a bit of a regret on my part. But the problem wasn't the history. The problem was that particular teacher. So history is not the issue. It's the way it's taught. It's the way it's used. You have the opportunity to give history a good name. You have the opportunity to show how history can be valuable, how reflecting on the past about God and the way that God has worked in the past, as we reflect on it and learn about it and its context, how that can then inspire us to live godly lives, Christ-like lives, to make a difference in this world. So you have a great opportunity, Edwin, and all of us who have this challenge, to give history a good name, because it's God's history. It's not mine. It's not something in a book. It's God's history. So let's use it and work out and practice how to use it in such a way that it would be part of the channel for people to find the inspiration that they need for their own situation in life right now. So I hope that's helpful. I suppose the question I might leave us with is this: what can you do in your next lesson to include history in a way that inspires? What can you do in that next lesson to use history in a way that inspires the people you're speaking to? If you've got any questions or thoughts about this, then do drop me a line. It's malcolm@malcolmcox.org, and I'll get back to you with my thoughts. Next week, we're going to start a new series, a five-part series on presentation tips. Some of these videos are more based on biblical text and so on, and some are more about presentation. We're going to take 5 weeks to focus more on presentation. I hope that's going to be useful for you. If you've got any questions, about preaching and teaching, presentation, the way we speak, the media we use, all that kind of thing, and send those to me and I'll do my best to answer them in this new series that starts next week. Until then, though, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.